In the beginning of this great sport known as professional bass fishing, there were only three things: the bass, Ray Scott, and a group of pioneers, adventurers, men whose performances would one day earn them the respect, the admiration, the awe of their peers and their fans. These men are legends, and this is Bassman Legends Radio.
To become a legend, you can't be a one-hit wonder. And with me today is Denny Brower. And Denny, 1998 paid some big dividends for your career, but you'd already won a bunch of tournaments prior to that. And, you know, now you have the Bassmaster Classic coming around the corner, and 2 years prior to the 98 Classic, not a very good classic for you. But then all of a sudden, 1998, reminisce a little bit with me, if you would, about the 98 Classic.
Well, the 98 Classic, I guess, was a payback for the one a couple years before that. In that particular event, I just found a tremendous bunch of fish and really felt good about my chances to win. And then we've got a dead day between the official practice day and the start of the tournament. There's a press day. And from the time we left in practice until the first morning of the tournament, they dropped the lake, best of my memory, like three and a half feet. And the fish I had found were in 2 feet of water. So obviously they had to go swim a long way to find some deeper water. And I just felt if I could relocate those fish, I could win that tournament. And I had all my chips in that one basket. And I never did relocate those fish. But when we went back in 98, they kept the water level the same. And I was able to locate that same school of fish and win the tournament.
Well, I got to ask you, you know, David Fritz lives up there. Did he have anything to do with the drop in the water?
Well, you know, we jokingly wonder about that. You never know, you know, what kind of influence a local angler can have if he's got buddies working at the dam or whatever. I hope that didn't take place, but ironically, in 98, he did not make the field, and they left the water alone, so who knows?
Well, you can definitely hang that one over him, and I'm sure you probably already have, but when you look at the, okay, you go into the Classic, you're feeling pretty good about it because you found those fish in 2 years prior, and you thought, well, they ought to be back there same time of year, but you go back, and now you've got 2 days under your belt, and you've done very, very well. What went in your mind to think about winning the Classic that last day? What went through your mind?
Well, you really got to be careful to start thinking about the end of a tournament before it really ends. That can get you in trouble. You've got to remember it's a job. You've got to go out there and do your job. Stay focused. The second day of that tournament, I felt, was when I won the event, because the second day I realized really how many fish were in that area, the quality of the fish, the ease I had in catching my limit. I just felt that I could go back the third day, and as long as I didn't have anything unfortunate happen, I would catch the fish I needed to win. So I was really at a huge comfort level going into the final day, which is a great way to go into the final day of the Classic, and really wasn't nervous, was able to put that type of emotion out of my mind and just go out there and work hard.
Well, a 7-pounder doesn't hurt you either. Until this year, you were the 8th biggest fish caught in a Bassmaster Classic. I think it was 7-2. And you look back at that 7-pounder, that was that's an experience I remember seeing that on video. I happened to be at the event, but was with another competitor. That had to be something that gave you a lot more confidence as well.
Yeah, that fish actually came on the second day of the tournament and really got me back into the lead and gave me a little bit of a comfort margin there going into the last day. But anytime you catch a huge fish like that, no matter whether it's the second day or the third day of the event, it's a pivotal fish. It's the type of fish that can certainly help you win.
Well, I look back over the years, Denny. I'm getting up there in age, and I look back over the years, and, you know, D. Thomas came out with the flipping technique, and I look now as history has presented itself, and the guy that really brought it to tournament fishing, in my mind, is Denny Brower. I mean, flipping and pitching has been something that you've really, you know, it's a power technique that you have really perfected.
Well, with 5-fish limits, you need to catch big fish the majority of tournaments in order to have an opportunity to win. And this study in the history of the sport, probably baits like worms, jigs, slow-moving baits presented in heavy cover account for more big stringers overall than anything else. So as I got into the sport, that was the technique that I wanted to try to master, because I felt it gave me the best opportunity to really be successful and make a living in the industry. And I certainly have not regretted spending a lot of time flipping and pitching, because it certainly has been good to me.
Well, Denny, we're doing a Legends Radio program here, and one of the things that always come to mind is you're done fishing, but you're just as competitive as you've always been, probably more so, and out there fishing the Elite Series now. And, you know, a legend is somebody that sometimes people think of, you know, maybe he's over the hill, but you're way from that, right?
Well, I feel I am. I feel good. Mentally, I'm probably just as competitive as I've always been. I don't know if more so, because I've tried not to let that change at all. I've tried to give 100% in practice and during the tournaments. And obviously, you've got periods where schedules line up for and weather conditions for your style of fishing where you do better, and then you're going to have years you don't do quite as well. That's just part of the nature of our sport. But the only thing you can really manage is your competitiveness and your work ethic, and I think that stayed the same.
Well, no question about the way things have come out now with the Elite Series. You're fishing a full year now, so some of the techniques that have made you successful, you're going to get a chance to fish them. It's not going to be all sight fishing from now on.
No, it really isn't, and of course, I think that works for everybody. Some of the guys that really have their forte of crankbaiting, they're going to get those opportunities. The finesse guys are still going to get their opportunities, the sight fishermen. So it kind of balances out. So a guy's going to have to make adjustments. I can't go out there and just flip and pitch every tournament. This year I've been able to do very little flip and pitch, and I've just kind of had to adapt to the tournament conditions. But as you say, sometime during the year, conditions normally get right for each angler for what he does best.
I got a question. Have you thrown a frog yet?
Yes, I have. It's a great technique, and of course, Dean Rojas has certainly introduced it to the world with the success he's had this year. And I used to make a mistake when a technique would get hot that I'd be the last one. I'd be bullheaded, and I'd finally get around to throwing it. That's not me anymore. When I see something new that's successful, I want to learn how to do it and get out there. And believe me, I've got some frogs myself.
Let's compare two awards. One is the Classic win, which we've talked about. Let's compare the Angler of the Year to that, because you've won that as well. How do they rate in your mind? How do they rate?
Well, years ago, Angler of the Year was my main goal, because I felt that's what would get you the respect within the industry from your peers. And I worked very, very hard to finally achieve that goal. Really, from a career standpoint, the Classic's probably a better win for you, because it exposes you to the world. It opens up promotional opportunities that Angler of the Year did not used to open up. Now, Angler of the Year is starting to get a lot of money pumped in, and you can go out there, and I think it's $125,000 for if you do win Angler of the Year, where back when I won Angler of the Year, I think it was $5,000 or $10,000. So from a monetary standpoint, it's a bigger award nowadays. But if you told me which one do I want to win next, I would tell you I want to go win the Bassmasters Classic again.
Evolution of our sport, man, you talk about changes. In the last 5 years, you mentioned one thing in particular, the money. But besides the money, just the way the sport's evolving, give me your perspective, if you can, about how you see this sport and where it's shaping into.
I'm very pleased right now. For several years, I think we were very stagnant. Anytime you're just sitting there in idle, you're actually going backwards. You're not going forward. And with all the drastic changes that have been made this year, I think it's pushing the sport forward. And there's growing pains. Obviously, there's some things none of us like, but there's a lot of things we really do like. And I think what we're seeing with the fan turnout and everything else, the publicity the sport's getting, we're doing some right things. So I think the future really looks good. And if we can keep it going the way it is 5 years from now, we probably won't even recognize it. It's really going to turn into a large, large event.
Well, I guess the question that comes to mind for me here is that, you know, Denny Brower, the guy that can do everything out on the water and stuff, what are some of the things you'd like to get better at?
Well, I don't think you can ever stop getting better at anything. I think everything you do, you need to keep trying to improve. As you get older, once in a while, you just want to maintain. But obviously, I'd still like to improve. But I do think your hand-eye coordination is not as good as you get older as it was at one time. Your endurance may not be quite as good. So, you know, you got to be careful about wishing for too much. But I still want to go out there and win tournaments. And I work real hard to do that. I don't know whether I can improve from where I was the last, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, but I'm certainly going to try.
Well, you've got, you know, one of the records that people don't talk about much is you won 4 out of 5 events in a row, kind of one of those things where you skipped one, but you won, you know, 4 events, including the Classic. And, you know, 3 in a row is great. Kevin Van Dam was able to do that. But me at that 4th one, that's pretty cool.
That was a neat deal. I was able to win back-to-back tournaments. Then I had a tournament that, if I would have done well in, would have allowed me to win Angler of the Year, and I stubbed my toe there. I probably tried to hit too big a home run. And then the next tournament after that was the Classic, which, you know, it really made me mad when I stubbed my toe and lost Angler of the Year. So maybe it was a little extra incentive to go out there and win the Classic. And then I think you're still kind of on a little bit of a high after the Classic win. And lo and behold, a couple weeks later, we have our first tour event, and I go out and won it. So that was a dream career type of couple of months that happened. And, boy, I'll never forget it.
Well, no question, a legend in bass fishing, but a legend as a man as well. And, Denny, thanks for being with us here at Legends Radio.
Thank you for having me on, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Legends Radio.